that I'm kind of seeing and feeling is a really, it's kind of an affirmation of what today's message is about. So, you know, even though it kind of just feels odd or, you know, just doesn't necessarily feel like, man, you know, let's worship hard this morning, or, you know, maybe just whatever may be going on in life right now that kind of has brought that funk in, I'm kind of thankful that I'm feeling it. Honestly, I'm thankful because of what God has to share with us this morning. We're excited that everybody is here with us this morning as we continue our series on being together. The last few weeks, we've started this series and we've been talking about what it means to be together, which has been a great series as we've been coming off our series of Acts and was looking at the early church and the things that the early church valued. And really, the study of the letter of Ephesians is coming at a perfect time as well, because it was a letter written from Paul to one of the churches that he started, so one of the early churches. And so it was kind of perfect timing for that as well. But as we've been going through this message, you know, the first week we talked about how together we have peace. Then second week we talked about how together we experience love. And today we continue this message of being together and how together we become stronger. And so when we start kind of feeling this funk, really, you know, it really feels more exaggerated when we're alone. It feels more exaggerated when we're not around others. And so I'm excited that I'm able to share my funk with you this morning. And hopefully it's not a funk that smells too bad. But anyway, before we get into today's message, let's take a moment to pray for God's word this morning. Father God, we just come before you and give thanks. We give thanks that we can have an opportunity to maybe just take a little bit of time and fellowship together, take a little bit of time and maybe refocus on what it is that you want to share with us this morning. Refocus on what it is that you want us to shake off in our lives, the funk. So God, we are just thankful for your son Jesus and everything that he was, so we could have this opportunity to grow closer to one another and grow closer to you. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And so here we are this morning, and you know, I was kind of talking about how you know, maybe it's been a long week, or maybe been a little bit difficult. And so I want to share a little bit about my week. You know, I didn't have this planned by any means, but I think it's contributing to a little bit of the funk that I feel this morning. So this past week, I went into the doctor's. Had been kind of on and off sick for the last, you know, week or 2 weeks or so, and been experiencing some cough and you know, kind of felt like I might have had some, you know, some chest congestion or something. And well, sure enough, you know, towards the end of last week, I went and got a haircut. Like, got home from this haircut, and I kind of felt like behind my ear, you know, I was getting a little irritated. And, you know, I just thought that the, you know, I go to one of those, you know, cheap places. And so I thought that this might have been someone fresh out of school, you know, just practicing on the guinea pig that came in. And, you know, I just thought that she might have nicked me a little bit, maybe around, I've got a mole behind my ear, you know, maybe nicked me, you know, or something. You know, and I was just starting to feel a little irritated behind my ear. And, you know, I can't see back there very well. And so I'd ask my partner in life, you know, hey, could you check this out? She's like, yeah, it looks a little red. Okay. You know, day or so goes by, and, you know, the irritation's a little bit farther up on my head, and maybe a little bit more behind on the back of my head. And then I, you know, I my ear itches a little bit, and I reach in and itch it, and, you know, like, I know that I'm probably the only one that this ever happens to, but every now and then, like, you ever get a pimple on the inside of your ear? It hurts really bad. And so I was like, oh, man, you know, maybe that's just what's happening here. Next thing you know, another day goes by, and the outside of my ear starts, getting irritated, and it looks like, you know, maybe I just scratched that pimple, and it's kind of growing or something, and I know it's gross. But we're real here, right? Like, we're authentic here at X2. This is it. But man, so like it just started becoming more and more irritated. Well, sure enough, then this past Tuesday or Wednesday, I could see that I had a lot more bumps on my earlobe, and I had some more down on my underneath my chin and on my neck, and so I was like, okay, you know, this is getting worse. And it felt like my throat was kind of swollen up, like I might have been maybe having an allergic reaction, and that's what I thought was going on. So I went in and decided to make an appointment. You know, I despise doctors. I haven't been in probably 6 or 7 years, you know, very reluctantly, of course, and that's not healthy. People do not do what I do. So I went into the doctor, and he says, well, I think you have shingles. I'm like, come on. I am 37. I do not have shingles. He's like, you know, that's actually a myth that only old people get shingles. I'm like, really? He says, yeah. You know, really about half of the cases that ever come up in shingles, you are still people that are younger, more around your age. I'm like, no. He's like, that's not it at all. I said, that can't be it. And he says, well, you know, have you been stressed? Like, yeah, you know, I've experienced quite a bit of stress over the last couple of years. He says, you know, it's also pretty common in people that might have low immune systems, you know, or have things going on in their lives that that make them, you know, vulnerable to disease or vulnerable to things like this. And I said, well, yeah, I'm diabetic. He said, yeah, that'll do it. And he says, I'm pretty sure it's shingles. I said, okay, you know, what can we do to make sure? And he said, well, here's the thing. Everything comes in threes, right? He says, you're the third case. All in people about your age. I'm like, okay, are you sure about this? He's like, yeah, I can definitely tell. So he prescribes me some medicine, and with a fairly healthy dosage of pain relievers and some other medications that he gave me, I've been managing, but really I just want to cut off my ear and throw it away. Like, it is driving me crazy. So this week has been, it's been a funk for me. I am thankful that we are here this morning, and this is the message that God has laid down for September 29th, 2019. How many of us in here would consider ourselves fairly scientific? You know, maybe in touch with things in the science nature. I knew Jackson would raise his hand. So not very many. A couple. Okay, so I'm going to start with this question. Does anybody know what the largest organism in the world is? Okay. Oh, well, geez, the picture's already up there. So the largest organism in the world, according to many scientists, is this particular section of trees. They call it Pando, and it's located on the southwest bank of the it's called Fish Lake in Utah. And what's interesting about it is this is considered to be the largest grouping of aspen trees in the entire world ever identified. And so for us, if we are looking at this, we kind of see, you know what, trees, those are individual items, right? Like, well, that's what's interesting about this, and this is why this is considered the largest organism in the world, is because actually underneath the ground, they operate on one root system. The roots for all these trees are intertwined. It's over 100 acres of land that cover all these trees, and it has one single root system. It's incredible. And this particular example, this grouping of trees, this pando, it's an example of how we can be connected as one, rooted within one system, one belief. As we've been walking through the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters have been all about Paul laying the foundation that we are united in Christ. Jews and Gentiles, we are united in this common belief. We are united in what Jesus did for everybody who believes. And so it's an example of how we can be connected one as one. And even when we are in a funk, even when we are facing difficulties, we can work together to grow stronger. This organism, this set of trees are stronger because they are rooted together. And they're more resilient to influences that might come in to try to kill it or stop its growth. They are better because they are together. And so today, that's what this message is about. It's the truth, accepting the truth that what God's word tells us, that together we grow stronger. And so, as I kind of mentioned, the first couple weeks, we were working through the first few chapters of Ephesians. And what we kind of learned, for those that may not have been here, that Ephesus was this town. It was a very diverse town with people of multiple ethnicities, multiple belief systems, multiple philosophies, many different religions, and they were all just kind of a busy community of a lot of hustle and bustle and things that were going on. But Paul was writing to this group of believers that were facing all these outside influences. He was writing to this group of believers that face the challenges that we very much face today in 2019 as a church as well. All the different things that are trying to pull us in different directions to divide us. But in all of that, in light of all the challenges that were facing the early believers, and all the challenges that were facing churches even today in 2019, Paul was very clear. He kept emphasizing over and over and over again the importance of togetherness in the gospel of Jesus. The importance of being united in that common belief of Jesus. And those people, the early Christians, they gathered, they read, they discussed Paul's letter, they studied it, and they wrestled through what he was trying to share with them, and they did this all together in smaller groups, which is exactly why we have such an emphasis on home groups here at Acts 2. Because that's how the early church was designed, that's how it was modeled to us. That was a part of God's early design. And so, as I mentioned, if you have been with us, you'll know that I've mentioned it each and every week that the first three chapters were all about that foundation, all about that redemption, God's redemptive story that was all throughout history, that was all a part of the master plan. And Paul kept setting that foundation, just be on Jesus. And so today, as we continue talking about being together, as we continue looking at how we are stronger together, just like that group of trees, we see a shift in Paul's direction. We see a little bit of a redirect now of Paul's instruction. You see, the book of Ephesians is six chapters long, and Paul really kind of started it, like I said, in the first three chapters, setting the foundation on Jesus, but now he kind of goes into a new direction. The new direction is how we put that into action, how we place that into application into our lives. And he starts using some words that we really need to pay attention to. Paul starts using some words like then. He starts using some words like therefore. We start seeing words like but. And we need to pay attention to these when we see them in Scripture, because what they imply or what they deliver to us is this: if this, then this, right? And so if Jesus came and died to accept the punishment for our sins, then we should respond in this kind of way. And so Paul's kind of laying it out there with these if-then moments, and he begins the shift in chapter 4 with these. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, it says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." He uses the word then. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. See, Jesus brought peace and love. We talked about that in the first couple weeks. And as we continue working through Ephesians, we're going to turn our attention to how we should let those things affect how we live. Those things should shape our lives in such a manner that that people know that we are disciples of Christ. That people know that we are living lives worthy of the calling that we have received. We should let those things point us in such a way that they deliver the stronger message that Paul is really trying to deliver to everybody. That God's love, that Jesus loves, becomes stronger in our lives when we let those shape our actions and our words, and how they become stronger when we're together. Today's key text is going to be Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, and I'm going to read it out of the NLT translation. It says, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." I want to use another visual here. Has anybody ever been to the starting point of any river? Maybe it was the Platte River, maybe the Missouri River, or the Colorado River, or any of these major rivers that we have in the United States. Has anybody ever seen the starting points of those rivers? Okay, good. So nobody has. I have seen the beginning of the Platte River before. It starts with a little trickle. Really, in most cases, it kind of starts because a melting snow somewhere, and it begins as a trickle, a few drops of water that starts rolling downhill. Well, as it begins to roll downhill, other things start adding to it. Other pieces of water start adding to it, and eventually, it becomes the rivers that we see. When it begins, it feels and it looks very calm, like a trickle. And those trickles, you know, become channels. Those channels become streams. Those streams become, at some points, raging waters. Those raging waters, as we've seen with some rivers, you know, they can create something very grand, like the Grand Canyon. See, they become stronger as they come together. As those little pits of water come together, they become stronger, they become mightier. This morning, as I was kind of talking about the funk that I was kind of feeling, the funk that I felt was just surrounding, I feel like we needed to be here together because of that. because we are stronger in shaking off that funk when we become together. When we encourage each other, when we support one another, when we worship and praise together, when we study God's Word together, when we experience His peace and His love, when we come together. As I was kind of preparing and thinking through this and kind of working through the visual of the rivers and how the waters come together and some points become very mighty and strong, you know, I thought about, you know, what are some other ways that we can maybe see strength in numbers? You know, what about within the animal world? You know, how do most animals survive? Most animals survive because they group together in packs. They come together, and when they are together, you know, they have protection. They have support. They being alone makes them vulnerable. You know, when you see a, you know, a sheep, or when you see a, you know, an antelope or a deer or something like that that ends up off on its own, it becomes a lot more vulnerable and more likely to be picked off by a predator. That is exactly how we are as humans. If we separate ourselves off, if we are off on our own, we become a lot more vulnerable to attacks from the enemy. We become a lot more accessible to the things that the world puts in our minds to try to separate us and bring us down and tear us away from God. We become a lot more susceptible to those things. And that's exactly how the early church found this kind of strength in numbers as well. If we revert back, the name of our church is Acts chapter 2, right? Acts 2. If we revert back to Acts 2:44, it says, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. I don't know if there is better direction. I don't know if there is better wisdom. Nothing that they had was owned on their own. Like, yeah, they had stuff, but they shared it for the greater good. They shared it for everybody, so everybody together could prosper. You know, it was just all used to meet the needs of everyone. They met together in one place, it says. If we go all the way back to the beginning, if we go all the way back to Genesis, we see from the very beginning we were created to be within community. God saw Adam and saw that him being alone was not good. And so he created a companion. He created Eve to be there with Adam. It doesn't matter if we're introverted, extroverted. It doesn't matter if whatever kind of personality style that we may have, it doesn't matter. We were created to be together. We are created to be in relationship with one another. You know, that doesn't mean that I'm going to ask everybody to come up and speak in front of an entire room. It doesn't mean that I'm gonna ask everybody to become a greeter. You know, if you're introverted, you've got skills and talents to serve God and to serve His church in different ways. It doesn't have to necessarily be forcing something that isn't natural. But we all have unique talents. We all have unique skills. We all have passion that God wants us to use for His glory, that He wants us to use to connect, to serve, to experience, and just share God's love with others. You know, and as we build community here through home groups, as we build community through outreach, as we build community through fellowship like we're going to experience today, we become stronger together. the body. Scripture uses the body as a visual quite a bit when talking about the church. It uses the body, and it's a perfect visual for this understanding of togetherness. The way it works all together to accomplish a task, the way that it works all together to accomplish goals, is a perfect visual. I thought about what it would look like to try to catch a ball. To catch a ball that was thrown to me if I maybe might have been missing some fingers or might only have one hand. That task becomes a whole lot more difficult. But when both hands are working together, when all my fingers are working together to catch the ball, that task becomes a lot easier to accomplish. There are many parts that within our body that work together for a greater good. There are all the components that go into allowing your blood to reach all your extremities. There are multiple components that go into the process of intaking food, breaking it down into energy, putting it into practice, putting it into your cells, and then discarding the waste. There are so many components that work together for that task, for that goal. And this is why the body is such a great analogy for the church. Not one single piece of the body is more important than the other. They all need to work together for the overall mission, for the overall goal. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here when it says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. In Romans, Paul himself also goes on to say, So in Christ, we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. As I saw that, it kind of hit me a little bit as a ton of bricks. I belong to my wife. I belong to my church. I belong to my community. I belong to so much more. Belonging is how we are built. I know sometimes our sense of independence wants to kind of get in the way. Our sense of independence wants to kind of say, you know what, I'm my own man. And I thought of one guy specifically, and I wish he was here. But we are meant to belong to one another, to serve one another. We are meant to come together and share everything that we have for the betterment of everybody. And I started reflecting more about this idea of the body. Our own personal bodies, as our body grows from infancy, to some of our children that are around, to eventually becoming our adults. As it grows from infancy, it becomes more mature. It becomes stronger. And Paul understood that as he laid it out within our key text. It says, instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is in the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I know in this analogy of the body, I know that we have a sense of wanting to be the most important part. Unfortunately, we're all important, even the pinky toe. We're all important overall in growing each other, building each other up, as we all put into practice our gifts and our talents and our passions. This togetherness, this growth and maturity, it comes with change. It has to come with change, though. Oswald Chambers wrote, As soon as we abandon ourselves to God and do the tasks that He has placed closest to us, He begins to fill our lives with surprises. See, those surprises are the change. Taking the gospel message that Paul is laying out in the first few chapters, that it is for everybody. The gospel message should be changing our lives. It should be changing in how we treat each other. It should be changing how we affect others that may not know Christ yet. It should be changing how we live our lives. And then Paul, in the last few chapters of Ephesians that we're going to look at more over the next couple weeks, he's talking about the life change that following Christ should bring. In Ephesians 4:22 through 24, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." He goes on a little bit later to talk about specific behaviors that need to change within our lives, like anger and stealing and unwholesome talk and bitterness and rage. But instead, he encourages believers. He encourages us that say, "Jesus, you are my Lord." He encourages us to be kind, compassionate, forgiving, and thankful. Things that are sometimes hard to do. That's what sets us apart. That's what makes somebody say, "Why?" And that's the door that needs to be opened to share about how Jesus has transformed your life. This growth and maturity is a slow process. It doesn't happen with the snap of the fingers. We can't really just kind of shake our arms and all of a sudden become mature. It's a process. And when you're in the middle of it, sometimes it's really hard to see. But as parents, the parents in the room, you can probably look back on your life. You can look back on your kids' life and see where you woke up one morning, maybe blinked, and all of a sudden your kids are going off to college or going off to the middle school or going off to kindergarten for the first time. And it seems like it happened in a blink of an eye. It's a process. And for us, this process, what it takes is a daily commitment to the habits, to changing habits, to doing the little things differently that bring change, to making the choices that display that we are committing to living a life worthy of the calling that we've received, growing with the rest of the body so that the whole body is healthy and full of love. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you and give thanks. We give thanks for this opportunity to come for you and worship and praise you, share your word, share the wisdom and truth that you share with us, that each and every one of us are a part of the body. Each and every one of us are important to the overall mission and the goal of the body. Each and every one of us has been given talents, skills, passions, and things you have instilled into us, God, that you want us to put into practice and hone to bring you glory. God, each and every one of us serve a purpose. Each and every one of us are stronger when we're together, when we are working together with the whole body on mission. Father God, you've been taking us on a journey. You've been taking us on a journey, and God, we just see that, and needed to see this morning, that we need to be doing life together. We need to be committing to joining together, to joining a home group, to committing to outreach opportunities, to committing to things that God, that are going to bring you glory. Committing to doing things together as one body to show our community Christ, the head. Father, your Son Jesus died to bring us closer to you. Bring us closer to you when Lord, we've done nothing but things to separate us from you. But Jesus came to be that bridge, to bridge that gap. God, we're so thankful for what he did, even though we don't deserve it. When we recognize that we don't deserve it, Lord, it humbles us. It humbles us to be able to see where we may have been selfish in our past, where we may currently be in a mindset of selfishness that God, no, I can do it better alone. Your word points us away from that. Your word tells us that we are meant to do life together. We just bow down in front of you today, Lord. Surrender everything that we have, all of the funk, to your Son, Jesus. We pray all these things in his holy name. Amen.
Will you stand with us as we continue on into worship?